Okay, my friends, before we begin, I have a special invitation for my local or local-ish ladies. Starting this September, I am hosting a brand new event called The Sacred Circle. I don't know about you, but I have been craving the power of community, connection, and sisterhood. This event will take place monthly in an intimate setting at my home in Windham, New Hampshire. There, we will collectively create a space where you will awaken and share your wisdom, embrace authenticity, and ignite your passions in the company of extraordinary women. Imagine the support, the wisdom, and the courage you'll find in this magical circle. You'll build lifelong friendships and become the unstoppable force you were always meant to be. I am so excited for you to join me. All the details and link to reserve your spot are in the show notes. Space is limited, and I cannot wait to see you there.
Your time, when you're giving to others for free, you're taking away that from your family, from people who are invested in you, all of this stuff. Like, it took me, gosh, in my late 30s, it took me that long to really realize, oh, I can't do this anymore.
Welcome, beautiful souls. Your time is now. It's always been now. I am your host and manifestation mentor, Allison Fitzpatrick, and I am obsessed with health. And not just a healthy body, but a healthy mind and a healthy soul. If you are craving peace, joy, connection, and alignment, you are in the right place. Imagine what it would be like to be living in full alignment with your purpose, eager and excited for your days ahead. Feeling a sense of inner peace, knowing you can trust your intuition and guidance from the universe. Feeling confident in achieving your goals and tasks with ease and joy. Embodying complete trust that everything is working out exactly the way it is meant to. This is so possible for you, my sweet friend. Life is always happening for you, and I am here to help you create a mindset around being strong in your powers. You are more powerful than you know. I am beyond happy that you are here. Let's find peace within the growth together, and let's have some fun. All right. Hello, hello. Welcome back, and welcome to episode 7. I feel like I just started this podcast yesterday, and we are already on episode 7. I don't know how that happened, but time flies. So I am really excited today because we're switching things up today. We're doing things a little bit different, and I am welcoming my first guest onto the podcast, my friend Elizabeth Lewis. Yay! Hi, Elizabeth. Hey. And I'm just so, so excited to have you on today. And this is also a first for me to record early in the morning, so we'll see how that goes. I'm awake though by now. I am awake. And it is September 22nd as we are recording this. It is the first day of fall. It is so dark out right now. I was just telling Elizabeth that it is downpouring buckets, thundering, lightning. It's doing all the things right now. So like completely out of any comfort zone of whatever I've recorded a podcast before, today is the day. So I always like to start off with a little story at the beginning of my podcast. And since I have Elizabeth with me today, I want to share a little bit of a story of how we met. So we met back in February for the first time. We were both on a retreat in Tampa, Florida with our business coach, Ash McDonald. And it was so fun. You know, you go into these retreats and you don't know anyone. I actually knew one person. I knew Dana at that retreat because we had been in a mastermind with each other before that, but we had met in person actually. But, you know, you don't really know anyone. So you don't know what to expect. What are people going to be like? You know, and you have like, are they going to like me? Right? You have all these limiting beliefs going through your head. And I remember like meeting you, Elizabeth, for the first time. And I was like, I want her energy. Whatever she's got, whatever Kool-Aid she's drinking, I want that, because your energy was just so contagious. I was like, she's freaking fun. Like, I can tell just right off the bat, she's going to be really, really fun. And that's totally what you are. You are so fun. And, you know, of course, then you were here this summer in Boston for a while. And so we got to meet up then with our friend Nina. We met in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. We got to spend a few days together, more fun. And now I am going to be meeting Elizabeth in Italy.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
In a month. We actually, it's the 22nd. We start our retreat 1 month exactly from today. 1 month from today, we will be starting our retreat.
And I don't have my ticket yet.
Yeah. And she needs to. You all know my story. If you've been following on my podcast, you know the whole story of me with travel and Italy and my debacle with the DC flight and how I almost wanted to totally cancel Italy, but I am going. My flight is booked. Elizabeth still needs to book.
I still need to book because nobody else wants to go like as early as I do, because I'm like living it to the fullest. You know, like I'm like, if I'm going to Italy, I'm going like 2 to 3 days early. I'm staying 2 days after. And so everyone else is like, oh, I got to get back at this time. Like, what? You're literally going to Italy. What is this jazz? Like, what is going on? Like, you're going to Italy. Why? I think living each opportunity, it's the only time I'm ever going to do it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go for 2 to 3 days more and 2 days after. So I'm just trying to figure out that flight situation.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited because I'm going a day early and I will be meeting you a day early and we're going to be finding some sort of Airbnb, I think somewhere, I don't know where, but we'll be able to spend a night together before the retreat starts, along with a friend or two, who knows, right? Who else is going to, I know Dana's going to be sharing with us. And then who else knows who ends up, you know, joining
whoever
us.
Whoever wants to join us is welcome.
Whoever wants to join us. Anyone want to join us in Italy? We're going to be there. So I am just so excited. I'm excited that we met back in February. And then I remember that first night in Tampa, we were all sitting around. We were in the backyard of like the cutest Airbnb ever.
Oh my God. We were sitting
in the backyard and we were all sitting around the fire. Remember, we were sitting around the fire and we were just like chit-chatting and like going back and forth. And it was late at night. And we started talking about human design. And I had been dabbling in human design just a little bit. I know what my human design is. I am not like a human design expert in any way at all, but I know like little things here and there. And I know little things about me. I've been learning so much more about me. Certain things in my life have been like life-changing for me when I figured it out, like, this is why you are the way you are. And I remember you like just busting out all of these human design, like you just knew this and you knew that and you were talking and you did. And I'm like, and I didn't really know you yet. And I'm like, she do human design? Like, is this her business? Like, is this what she does? And at the time, it was just like a passion of yours and a love of yours. And you had been really digging into it. And I was like, why is she not doing this as a business? And now 7 months later, you are incorporating this into your business now, right? And so it was like, you're so meant for this. And I just love it. And I love listening to you talk about it. And so I thought, Elizabeth needs to be my first guest.
I'm so excited to talk about it. Yeah, it is crazy. At that, you know, that was a pivotal point for me to be like, oh, this really lights me up. And that's, I'm a generator. I know you're a manifesting generator. And so as a generator, like as any sacral, like we're here to literally do what we love and brings us joy. And that's how it lights the world up. It's one of those things I think about too, knowing human design. I'm like, oh, so if the population is like 70, between 70, 75%, because it's like 32%, 35% mixed together between manifesting generators and generators. If we're all living out of alignment, not doing what we love, all that energy is pushed out into the world. So like how many people are living out of alignment, especially if the population is so made up of sacral beings like us, like we are what brings the energy. And so if the world is living so out of alignment in the 70 to 80% of the population, I'm like, wow. And so that moment for me was like, oh, this is what it feels like to really be in that space of pure joy when you're sharing something and then what it does for other people. Do you know what I mean? And so I felt that so deeply and I was like, why don't I make this a business? Why don't I incorporate this in and figure out how or what this would look like?
Yeah. I just want to say, does everyone hear what she's saying? She's saying the time is now.
The time is now.
The time is now. That's why I call the podcast Your Time is Now. Your time is now, right? Like, because we have these things that we want to do and these passions that we have, and we just like, we feel it in our gut, and what are we waiting for, right? Because like you said, like, we're meant to be the energy. We're meant to send out this amazing energy to people to help people. And when you feel that in your gut, it's like, the time is now.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to get into all this.
Me too.
Before we do, I want you to introduce yourself and just tell us who you are, what you do, all the good stuff.
Okay. So obviously you guys know I'm Elizabeth Lewis. I own several businesses. So really where I started in the medical field, and then I have my son. So he'll be 7, October 6th. And my husband, at the time, I kind of had this other business, realizing now it was a hobby because I was working a full-time job at the hospital, and then started this business really to create community. I was a young mom. I was a teen mom. And I was just like, where do women meet each other? Like, I'd moved to the city. I'd come from a really, really small country town. I moved to the city, and most people were much older than me that had children. And so I was like, how do I meet other women? Like, how do I meet them? Kind of how it morphed into creating my main business, like my primary, which is Detroit Mom. And it's really to bring women together and connect them and help them feel seen and valued and share their story. It's a space to amplify stories of women. And I was in very postpartum, and my husband was like, what if you stayed home and you just did Detroit Mom? And I was like, oh, I have like a lot of student loan debt. And I worked really hard at that time. You know, I worked really, really hard. I wanted to move right up the corporate ladder, and I'd worked really hard to get where I was at. And I was just, I don't know if I was in that space. And I remember, you know, I tell a story so much. So I've lost both my parents. It's so crazy. It's been 4 years. And my dad, I remember I was running around doing all these things, and he was overwatching. It would have just been Harper at the time, so I hadn't had Nolan yet. And he was like, I come running in the door, and I was like, I just got to grab something, Dad. And he's like, Elizabeth, he's like, you got to slow down. You're going to work your whole entire life, and you're going to be like me, and you're going to miss out on everything. And it's true. My dad missed out on, he worked so much. He did everything for everybody else. He gave so much to everybody else that he had nothing left for us when he came home. And so even that, he worked crazy hours. So we just really never saw him. And he was like, at this time, my dad was in his 60s, and he was just like, I missed out on everything. And of course, you know, I'm sitting here not really understanding at this
point. Yeah. You don't understand that when we're
younger. No, I'm like, Dad, you know, yeah, I get it. You know, but it's something that definitely was like stuck in the back of my mind. And then when my dad died, it was like, even like, it was just even more prevalent. But when I left my job, I still wasn't quite sure, but that was like ringing in my ear. I remember like, it, you know, and looking back now, like, it was such an intuitive hit. It was like this, my intuition was like bringing that to the surface. My subconscious was like, I'm going to remind you of this situation. And then of course my brain's popping in like, I'm going to protect you though. I'm going to protect you and tell you, you can't leave your full-time job. What are you going to do? You have really, you know, you make a lot of money. You have really good benefits. You have all this stuff. Your 401k, like, my brain was like, no, you can't do this. And then I remember middle of the night, I just couldn't stop thinking about it, hearing my dad's words. Cause it, how he said it was just so, my dad was not an emotional man. And so the way he said it was with just so much conviction and emotion. And I was just like, what if I did that? What if I left my job and pursued this, and I got to raise our kids and not somebody else? What would that look like? And so my husband and I collectively made the decision. It was hard. He had to pick up 2 extra jobs. And mind you, my husband and I both are from the medical field, made really, really good money. So the fact my husband had to pick up 2 extra jobs was like, just to kind of supplement my income. We didn't travel. We had to cut back on everything. And I remember going into my boss, and she goes, you're leaving? Like, just like, this, like, you're leaving. And I was like, yeah, I want to raise my kids. You know, I think people look at entrepreneurs are like, okay, you know, like, corporate.
You're going to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. And she was like, you're about to be promoted. You have a really good job. Like, kind of like trying to talk, like she just couldn't believe it. And then of course I have an undefined ego, which I'll share that I have an undefined. So I was like, oh my God, am I making the right decision? Like then in this, like all this talk, right? Then I remember I'm like sitting there. I was like, Elizabeth, how many times did you sit with your staff and go, gosh, I would sit in my office and they'd come and I'd be like, don't you feel like there's more to life than this? Coming into a job working 9-to-5, someone telling you when you can vacation, when you can't, when you can take care of your kids, if they're sick, if you can leave, when you can mourn, when you know, all these things, like, don't you feel like there's more? And they're just like, meh. And I'm like, wow. Okay. So long story short, left the hospital, pursued Detroit mom. In that time, I lost both my parents. That shook me to my core. I have never lost anyone previously of that. It wasn't like I'd ever experienced that. And I lost like every ounce of my being in those, like just who I was, my identity, all of that stuff. Because I first lost my mom, then 6 months later, my dad. And I just kept going on with life. I have several other, businesses. Actually, we're prepping right now. So another one of them that I have is Retreat to Reclaim, which is a retreat, which are retreats to help women reclaim the offline version of themselves. And my best friend and I met or really bonded over the grief. She had lost her son. She had a stillborn. And then I had lost both my parents. And so we're just like, gosh, women need the space to reclaim themselves. Like they just need the space to find themselves, to, you know, get rid of all the noise and just be with themselves. And thus, then we created Retreat to Reclaim and we're on our third retreat. So it's in Traverse City here in Michigan.
This weekend, right?
This weekend. Yeah. I have to pick up our chefs. We flew in chefs, all plant-based, really holistic. She's a holistic chef. So I have that. Then I have on top of Detroit mom, Lansing mom, which is, if anyone knows, the state capital of Michigan. So we have that. And then my personal brand. And then I also consult. It's like a newer thing. My consulting is like, I've been giving away my services away for free for years. Not realizing what I do is so beneficial to people. Like when I offer advice or, you know, it's one of those things when someone's like, hey, can I pick your brain? And you're like, sure. You're like so excited that somebody wants you to share information. You're like, yes. And then now realizing the energetic exchange between money and my time how much more valuable my time is. I'm recognizing that now. Like it's always been valuable, but really recognizing like your time when you're giving to others for free, you're taking away that from your family, from people who are invested in you, all of this stuff. Like it took me, gosh, in my late 30s, it took me that long to like, to really realize, oh, I can't do this anymore. I am exhausted. My husband works out of state. He just got back from being 7 days away. And then I was out in Boston with you. And prior to that, my husband, I was solo parenting for 10 weeks, running all my businesses, taking care of dogs, kids, a house, all this stuff. Right. And really recognizing, I think if I can look back as hard as those moments were, really recognizing those moments were actually like, hey, you can't do this anymore. You can't give your time away. You can't do all, you know, like just really coming into my own and recognizing those things. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I have all these businesses and I have so many ideas. I was just, oh, I also own another business. This I know Michigan with kids. So I have that with another best friend. We own Lansing Mom together too. And that's just to help people explore Michigan with their kids. Like, yeah, because Michigan is so underrated. People are like, oh, Michigan. But I'm like, we literally are surrounded by 5 Great Lakes. Michigan is incredible. And so we're like, how can we share that love that we have for our state with other people, especially moms and other, you know, like there are so many people that have never even been 1 to 2 hours away from where we live. So like the west side of Michigan, you know, up north or things like that. So that's my other, I need to create a list.
Well, I love it because as I'm listening to you, I'm like, you've had just, I love how you've had so many just pivotal like points in your life where you were like, it was almost like this aha moment or, you know, like, okay, this is my next step in life or things happening, like leaving your job, you know, to become an entrepreneur or the loss of your parents or, you know, all of these things. And it's like, we look back at these things and they're hard things, they're scary things, they're sad things, but they all lead us to where we are meant to be. And this is like one of the things I've talked about in some of my earlier podcasts too, like the loss of my dad or, you know, and how it has brought me to where I am today and how I can have so much gratitude for, you know, those times in my life that were hard or scary or, you know, whatever, because they've all led me to what I am supposed to be doing and what I am meant to be doing. And I hear it so much for the same with you too, because I remember when I left my job in the corporate world, like my husband and I were making the same amount of money. I think I was actually making a little bit more and our income cut in half.
Yeah.
You know? And I became a stay-at-home mom and it was scary. So I'm hearing like lots of things that I say all the time, like taking the scary steps, right?
Yeah.
Like our ego is there to keep us safe. And that's why we stay in our comfort zone so much. So, you know, just taking action in spite of that fear of like what's going to happen and the unknown and, you know, still taking that action because you know something amazing is on the other side of it. And then listening to your gut, right? Like your gut telling you like, I am supposed to be, it's like you telling your coworkers, like, isn't there more to life? Like we're supposed to be doing something else. This doesn't feel right. And then
he is like,
and then taking that action and being like, you know what, let's just see what happens. Like, and just, you know, throwing caution to the wind and building a life that, you know, is the life that you desire and the life that's going to bring you joy and the life that's going to light you up. And especially when you have kids and you've got, you know, you have a ton of different businesses. Like I want to, like some people have one business and a ton of kids and they're like, I don't have enough time to do anything, but that's all a belief, right? It's all a belief that we don't have enough time. Like we get to reprogram our minds and we get to do and think however we want to be. And and you have shown that a lot in what you've done over the years. So I love that.
Oh gosh. You don't realize until you're speaking it either, because you don't hear your story as much or how like you got to that point or until you're speaking, like you're telling somebody, or even like when I listen back to podcasts, when people share clips on Instagram, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's crazy hearing that from my mouth, you know, because even like you hear, you know, saying about your dad is, in the times when both my parents passed away, I'm like, you know, it's so easy to get in like, why me? Like, why is this happening to me? And now 4 years later, I'm like, okay, there is such a purpose in this. I haven't fully figured it out yet, but like even the love that I can show to people and things like that, because I've been through it and to help other women through it. And because parental loss is so hard, like the loss of a baby, oh my gosh, I can't even fathom that. The loss of people who, whether you have good relationships or not, who birthed you, who raised you, who, you know, my parents were the best grandparents. Oh my gosh, my dad was just like such a good grandfather. And I have a lot of moments where I get so stuck in. And also, it's a reminder to me of like, man, my dad would love this so much. This moment right now, what my son's doing or what my daughter's doing, because he's never met the baby. They didn't, when he was dying, we didn't tell him we were pregnant. So he's never met the baby. And well, that I know of.
Right. He has met the baby.
I just don't know when. Yeah. And because I've had a lot of crazy experiences and a psychic medium has confirmed them. So I do really feel all of that stuff, but you know, my train of thought just, I got on a train and just shipped on out of here.
I always say like life is a puzzle. Like we don't always have all the pieces and not everything is always going to make sense, especially in the middle of it happening.
Yeah.
It might start to make sense later on in life, but we might not always know the reasons why, but we always have the choice to keep moving forward and keep, you know, following the path that we want to be on and that we are meant to be on. So
I did want to say this because I know so many people, they listen and they're like, I could never do that. I could never leave my job. Like, I just couldn't do that. I hear it all the time. And I'm like, it's very much a choice. And I also understand the privilege.
Yeah.
I always want to say that to people. Like, I understand it's a choice and a privilege because not everybody can do it. And I'm so aware of that.
Absolutely. But
also on the other side of it, I fully believe that if you really, really want it, like I didn't want to give up my lifestyle at the time. I would literally raise my kids during the day. And then from 9 to 2 in the morning, I would work my business. And I was exhausted. Then I had a baby. So, you know, I was up in the middle of the night. Then I was up at 7 with the other kids. Like I was exhausted, but I did not want to live the corporate life. I didn't want someone telling me when I could vacation. I didn't want somebody telling me when I could and couldn't do anything. Like I didn't want that. And so looking back, I'm like, I would do it all over again. I would go through all those hardships, but also during the time you're like, oh my God, why did I do this?
We need to go through those hardships, right? Because those are the lessons. Those are the lessons. Like when we are going through hard things, like I always say contrast is going to happen in life. Hard things are going to happen. Sad things are going to happen. Fearful things are going to happen, right? All of these things are going to happen. They are all lessons for us, right? And they're meant to be in our life for a reason.
So, that's so true. Oh my gosh. I can't agree with that more. Yeah.
I'm really excited to talk about human design. Yes. So let's jump into that. Tell us, how did you even find out about human design? And, you know, what did you love about it? And how has it changed your life so far?
Oh, I love this question. Okay. So this is the really interesting part. We had our first retreat to reclaim retreat in Sedona. So 1 year ago. And my friend, like some of my friends there were talking about human design. And looking back now, I just was not ready to receive it. I was not ready to receive it because I had created this really beautiful life around a whole lot of pain. And I had spent at that point, so 3 years suppressing every single feeling from losing my mom to having, you know, having a baby to losing my dad to all this, I was suppressed every single feeling. And so when people were talking about it, I just wasn't receiving. And so I remember listening to them and I didn't understand any of it, but I was like, I could feel like a feeling like I was intrigued by it, but I'm like, no, nah, it was also, I wasn't myself. Like, it's so interesting to look back to where I am today, right now, to where I was when we were in Sedona. And I'm like, I'm not even that person, but I've done 6 grams of ketamine. So in that time, so we did Sedona September. And then at that point, like I was just so broken. I lost my dad's dog kind of, he got sick that May. And he was like the last living piece of my parents. So it was really traumatic. If anyone's lost an animal, oh my gosh, or has to put them down. The most traumatic thing I've been through, 2 weeks of pure trauma. And it broke me. It just purely broke me. And it's so funny. I think back and I'm like, oh, I took time off. I did this, but like, I didn't, I still was like, you know, when I took the most present time was literally as I was in the thick of trying to decide what we were going to do with our dog. And that's when like, I was just like broke wide open and was like, oh my gosh, I've got to take time off work. I've got to do all this stuff. And I remember being, and this is the first time that I ever remember being so in tune with myself, was I cut all the noise out, cut everything out. I was so in tune with myself that I remember sitting, we were on our back deck and I stepped off and I put my feet in the ground. I needed to ground myself. And I remember just hearing the blades or the wind and the blades of the grass. And I was like, oh, this is what it feels like. So I took time off. I took 2 weeks off and I've never taken time off. My team was like, what? They knew I needed it, but they were like, what? Even my husband was like, what are you doing? Like I was ready to hop a plane to go do ayahuasca in Costa Rica. Like I had just reached my breaking point. And so when, you know, Sedona came around, oh, this is what I was going to tell you. When I took the time off, what happened was I go back after the 2 weeks, these amazing 2 weeks, journal, go turn inward, do all this stuff. I go back and my life just picks up and I continue on suppressing everything. I don't fix the problem. I don't do anything else but just suppress it. And I remember, you know, it's so crazy. Sedona was such a pivotal point for me too, is just being in the space. Like I was not me. I felt it so deeply. So then I'm working with Ash at this point, actually. This is crazy. So I just started working with Ash in August of that year. So it was super, super new. And I had started my rounds of ketamine in December. And so I was like on those, I knew I needed something. Like it was one of those things. So Ash had posted her thing and I was like, I'm doing that. It wasn't the money, nothing. I didn't even care. I'm like, I'm doing that. And so we had a therapist in the group. And so long story short, because it's like, there's so many pieces in here. I end up doing six rounds of ketamine. Huge awakening. Like, so if for anyone that doesn't know, ketamine is used for people who have PTSD. So I found my mom. I have PTSD. Never took care of the PTSD I had, which then morphed into postpartum depression. It was awful. So they do it a lot for vets, but there's a lot of research coming out for anxieties and so much. Ketamine just does so many amazing things with integrative therapy. So I do ketamine, learn an insane amount about myself. It was just, I don't even know how to process so many things that happened. I'm getting ready to do EMDR therapy to like really still even process that. But Ash had brought a speaker in. So how it really kind of morphed was Ash had brought, like, in this time frame, somebody in. And it was right after my ketamine treatment. And I think right before our retreat to Tulum, Mexico. So we had a retreat in Tulum. And she, like, I kind of researched it. And then, because Ash had talked about it, so then I was curious. And then she spoke and I was like, oh my gosh. What is this? Like, where has this been? And it's so funny. If I look back, I'm like, you've heard about this. Like, this isn't new. And so I fell in love with it. And what I fell in love with was the idea that I was not abnormal. And I felt so validated and seen in who I was. Yes. I was like, oh, okay. Like I meant, this is who I am. This is like, this isn't anything other than who I am. And with human design, if for people who don't know, it's based off your birth time, your birth location and birth date. And so, yeah, it has astrology, there's so many things mixed in with it. But when you actually take a minute and you read it. So I remember I downloaded the app and I was like, who is this over there? Who is on the other side of this? Because
right. How do they know me?
How do they know all this about me? Like just like every single thing. And then like even understanding like how I make decisions best, how I like, so, you know, what my authority is, like I'm an emotional authority. Or, you know, my strategy is to respond. And like how I can give this example is with when it comes to responding, like the three really most important parts are my type, which I'm a generator. My strategy is I respond and my authority is my emotional authority. And I remember, you know, it's so silly how crazy this part is. But when I learned about responding, like how I'm supposed to respond to the world and things like that, she put it simple like this. Think about it like when your husband goes, what do you feel like for dinner? You're like, I don't know. What do you feel like? I don't know. What do you feel like? And you spend an hour.
I'm a responder as well. Yes. So I feel you here. And this is like one of the things that I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Same. And so she was like, imagine if you, how would it feel if your husband goes, do you want pizza tonight? You instantly like, it's an inner knowing. Like you're like, Yeah, you literally know. And so I told my husband, because he's a manifesting generator, and he goes, oh my gosh. So now we don't even like, no open-ended questions for me. Yeah. None. Like yeah. It's this or that, or just this. Like, do you want to do this or this or that?
You want Mexican or Italian? You
tell me. Like what sounds good? And so when I really started like digging into that and who I am and how I'm supposed to respond and, you know, like how I make decisions. I would always make decisions quick because I think people need to know the answers. And that's not how I'm designed to be. Like I'm meant to take a couple days, think about it, bring myself to a place of neutrality, and then make the decision. Whereas, you know, I'm not a gut responder. I don't know instantly. And knowing that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't feel like a crazy person anymore. Because what happens for emotional authorities is we get so excited, we make the decision. Then 2 days later, we're like, why did I agree to that? Why did I do that? And so that is where, and, you know, learning those things about myself and really like, really diving into them and engulfing them, like being like, okay, I'm going to use myself as a test subject, my kids, my husband. Oh my gosh, it changed so much for my husband and I. It like how we communicated with each other, how we did things. When it comes to my kids, my daughter is a projector.
My son is a projector as well.
Yeah, my oldest. And I was like, why can she not get things done? I used to think she was lazy. And then when I learned she was a projector, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's not meant to. I have to accept that. Like she is not meant to. We take 8 hours. She can take 3 and get the same amount of work done.
That is so Kyle.
Right. And I needed to,
it's funny that you say that because when he was younger, I used to always think he was lazy as well. Sorry, Kyle, if you're listening to this.
I know. It's so hard. And it made me a better parent. It made me a better leader. Cause then I went to my staff and I was like, hey, I need you guys to all take this. And I was like, oh my gosh, are they in the right positions? Really diving into, cause there's so many components to it. You know, your open centers, your undefined and your defined centers. There's so many things to it besides just your type, right? And so what it gave me is this like freedom and this ease in my life to be myself. It allowed me to see myself for who I was versus trying to keep up with Tony Robbins and all these other people that are designed so differently, right? And it was an interesting thing. I had this moment where I was like, I parent all my kids the same, but they're all so different.
Yeah.
Isn't that an interesting societal thing?
Like everybody pretty much does that, right?
Yeah.
Or in some way does that, like, and you even say to yourself, like, because I know I've questioned this before, how can I parent the same exact way yet my kids are so different?
Yeah.
You ask yourself this question, right? I've parented them the same exact way. How in the world are they so different? Now we know.
Yeah.
Like now we know. It makes sense.
It does. And that's what I tell people. It's a tool. It's just another tool for you to use and to utilize and to understand your kids. But I will tell you, the people, I've shared it with so many people. And when they put their kids in and they read about their kids, they're like, this is life-changing. Not only for themselves, what they learn about themselves, but for their family dynamic. Like, okay, I understand. Like, it even breaks it down. Human design breaks it down into how your kids eat. So I remember one of the girls on my team, she sent me a message and she goes, oh my gosh, I have been frustrated for the last 6 years on how my daughter eats. And then I read her digestion and how she eats. And I was like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. And she was like, it made everything so much simpler. As soon as I accepted that, I read that about her and I accepted it, I moved on and I was like, all right, I'm not worried about this anymore. You know, this is who she is. And I think it's interesting. I just did a course and I remember people in our course were like, there are moments where I'm like, how is this even real?
Yeah.
How do people
like in some way, it's like, I always say, like, it's people will be like, this is just like the woo-woo stuff. Right. But it's like, this is so real, right? It's so like you read it and you're like, this is me. This is who I am. And it makes sense. And even when I read about my kids as well, I'm like, oh my gosh,
I know.
Like, it's because now my kids are older. My kids are like 18 and 19. Yes. And so I've like seen this whole life and you have an older daughter as well. And it's like, you see so much of how they have been. And then you're like, oh, like if I had only known,
I had only known
when they were younger, but you know, we learn this stuff now and it's like, it's never too late, right? Like the time is now. Like
the time is now. And you don't know. Yeah. You don't know what you don't know. And I think that's the crazy part is even when you think like, You know, I've had moments in meditations or doing inner child work where I remember, you know, this is such a great way to look at it. And if you're a Harry Potter fan, you'll really appreciate this. But I was doing an inner child exercise with my spiritual mentor, and she was like guiding me. You know, I got on like this magic carpet. I was like so in it. And she's like, go over your favorite place. And it was the beach. And she's like, you're going to see a bonfire, a fire ahead of you. And the carpet is going to come and land on the sand, and you're going to get off, and you're going to walk over, and you're going to see someone. And like, when you're flying, you don't know who it is. And like, as I walk up, it's my mom. And she was just, oh, like, I haven't told this story in a while. And I was like, oh, I'm good. You know, when you're not going to cry. But she was so happy. She was just like, I've never seen her just so just vibrant and beautiful and just happy. And I sit down, and this was actually, I was in Mexico, and when we were doing this visualization, and she says to me, she was like, do what makes you happy. You have to do it now. And I was just like, what? And I was just like, I remember coming out of it. And the moral of her story, like everything she kept saying was like, do it now, Elizabeth. Like, you have to do what makes you happy. And yeah, it was like, and that's all she said. It was like nothing more than that. But at that time, I was really in this like place of so much self-discovery. I had just done ketamine, like literally 3 weeks prior to going to Mexico. And I had just so many questions and just so much. And when I came out of my spiritual mentor like kind of took me back out of it, and I go back and return to my place, I said to her, I said, I don't know if it was real or if my brain is telling me what I want to hear. Do you know what I mean? She says to me, do you know that point in Harry Potter where Harry dies, he sees Dumbledore? It was like a late episode. He sees Dumbledore. He goes, is this real? And Dumbledore goes, why can't it be both?
That's what was going through my head. I'm like, why can't
I was just like, literally, I have chills right now. Like, I didn't, in that moment, I was just like, oh my gosh, why can't it be both? And that's how I think about human design. You can fully step into it and believe it wholeheartedly. Or you can be that person that sits back on the sidelines and never gets to experience what it does for you. Everybody's experience is so different. So, you know, you have people that come in, they're like, this is an interesting work. That's not me. That doesn't sound like me. I will tell you this much. A couple weeks later, a couple days later, they come to me and they're like, ah, I was really like thinking about it. And
this is me.
This is me. Mm-hmm. And I think we get caught in like the negative parts of human design, but there's really no negative parts. There's like room for growth, because I used to get stuck in that. Yeah. I used to be like, why am I a 3-5? God, why did you do this to me?
Right.
Universe, whoever created me, whoever, whatever, why did you make me a 3-5, which is a great life experimenter? Like, why? Why couldn't you make me a natural, the 2-4? I'd be okay with that, you know? And we always want what we don't have. The same exactly. As with human design. You're like, why am I just a generator?
Yeah.
And then I'm
you can look at it as like, all right, I'm going to embrace this.
Yeah.
And how can I use all of this to my advantage?
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's where you get to make the decision and say, I'm going to fully step into this. Or you're just going to be like, that's not true. And that's okay too.
Yeah, that's okay too.
But
you get to decide.
Yeah. If you embrace your design, if you embrace and you live in alignment, also a lot of deconditioning because of society. But if you live in alignment, you will live a fulfilled life because everybody else around you will live that. They'll see it. Like my husband is always like, well, that's, you know, my design is this. And I'm like, okay, you know, he needs to clearly learn more. But we talk about it in our house all the time. Our daughter, my 10-year-old, knows her design. We talk, and when she was reading her design, she was like, oh, that's why I do that. I was like, imagine if we could equip our kids with this. Imagine if we could start them early on all this stuff, meditations, journaling. You know, like what would it look like if we could equip our kids with tools like this? It's no different. All these people who are like, an Enneagram, live by the Enneagram, all this stuff, right? The Enneagram's subjective, people. That you take a test, you answer the way A, you feel you should,
right?
B, you're fully answering fully transparently. Or also think about this. Do you ever think maybe your ego is like, I'm gonna
yeah.
You should think you like to take care
are
of people.
Are you answering it truthfully?
Yeah, are you really? Like, yeah. Because yeah. when I take it, I could be a combination yeah. of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I could be that. I could be that. Whereas this is not like this.
You were born on this day, at this time, in this place, and this is who you are. There's no questions. There's no questions here. And that's what I love about astrology as well. Like, and again, it's like, it takes all of that into account, which is just amazing.
I know. Why is it so hard to believe? That's the yeah. thing that's crazy yeah. to me. People will believe Enneagram test.
Yeah.
Or a Myers-Briggs or whatever, all these different things, but they can't conceptualize or wrap their head around like astrology or something that is based mm-hmm. off of
yeah
like data yeah. like right. who you are, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a matter of being open, right? Being open yeah. to the possibilities and what this is, or really what anything is, right? And just being open in general of just life. And yeah, it's all right. So we have like 10 minutes.
Okay.
So I want you to just give like, cause everyone is probably listening is like, what am I? What's my design? Tell us first. We'll make sure that we put a link in the show notes of how they can, how they can get their human design. And obviously we're going to talk briefly at the end about how they can follow you, but I want you to give just a brief description on there's 4 human designs, right? So just give a brief.
No, there's 5.
Oh, there's 5. There's
yeah. 2. Because a reflector, but the
reflector, right? Okay, yeah.
Yes. They're so rare.
So, all right. So, 5 human designs. Give us a quick little, okay. like, brief description of.
Oh my gosh, this is so much pressure.
3, 2, 1, go!
Okay, so generators. So, I'm a generator. You're a manifesting generator. We're sacral beings, but there is differences between us being generators and manifesting. So, I'm a generator. Generators are natural doers and creative powerhouses. Like we literally bring the party. Like if you could think of a generator, we are the party. We are the party bringers. Like people.
Remember what I said at the beginning about our energy?
Like we can bring the energy. We can change energies in rooms. Like when we come into a room, you know, when it's kind of like, think of like a dance party and it's like kind of boring. And then someone walks in and it's like, that's how you can think of like a generator. Like
okay. I literally said that about you in the beginning, knowing that that's what you were going to say.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. That is literally, that is a generator. Like our greatest service to the world is to do things that light us up and bring us joy, that make us happy. That is our greatest service to the world. Yeah, we just, and that's the interesting part because we're sacral beings. We can just go. But also that can be taken advantage of and it can burn us out and all this other stuff. There's like so many different things that make it not good, but generators oh my gosh, I love me some generators. Like Beyonce's a generator. Anyone want to know that? Beyonce's a generator. But yeah, so Beyonce's a generator, but ooh, I love her. Then manifesting generators. So just to kind of give you a little bit of a difference, do all the same things, but they're multi-passionate. So like, whereas a generator tends to have one thing they can focus on and things like that. A manifesting generator jumps. They're like, oh, I want to do this. I can do this, but they can do it well.
It's so funny that you're saying this because I literally talked about this in my first couple of episodes. It's like, I've done this and then I've done this and then I've done this. And then I used to think there was something wrong with me because I couldn't stick to one thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, wait a minute. When I figured this out, I was like, this is who I'm meant to be.
Yeah. You're not meant to just do one thing. You're literally, you can start something and hand it off to someone. Like you're not meant to do it. You are a doer. You obviously, the same thing. You bring joy to the world. Like a lot of things are very much the same, but you guys don't fit into boxes. Like you have nonlinear careers. Like you don't fit into this like one box because you can do multiple things. You know, like it's okay.
That makes me feel so amazing.
I know. The ideas that you have, all of that stuff is so good. Like there's so many things that are so cool about manifesting generators that do make them different than generators. But because we're sacral beings, like manifesting generators bring the light too. Like they're also, you know, the same, are business coach. She is also a manifesting generator, which is always so interesting, right? Okay, so moving into, I want to make sure I get to all these people. Projectors do not have sacral energy. So projectors are like natural leaders. They're guides. They're people who give like really incredible advice. They're those people in your life, you're like, gosh, that was literally life-changing advice. Like, that was amazing. They're super sensitive. They're just, my best friend is a projector. Actually, a lot of staff I employ are projectors because projectors are naturally attracted to and gravitate towards generator energy because they can't generate their own energy.
Okay.
But there's like a whole,
makes so much sense.
There's like a whole bit of, there's so much to that though. Like there's so much to that, but they're here to show us how to do things easy, easier. Like here's an easier way to do something. They're natural learners.
You are literally describing my son too.
I love projectors.
And you said leaders, and it's so funny because like where he really wants to be for college is DC. So it's like, it's just so, it's funny listening to it because I'm like, yep.
That's the thing. Projectors are so misunderstood though. That's where it's like a crazy thing.
100%.
Because they, like I said, they, you know, when we really understood, you know, even for my best friend, I know she works in chunks of time. Like she works in like, she can get work in 3 hours. Like she doesn't have the energy I do to go. So like it works perfect, but she brings so much just mind-blowing information, you know? So that's always the cool part. There's like just so many cool things. They're just so wise. They're so wise. Projectors are, oh, I love them. They're just so wise. Marie Kondo is a projector. Which nice. That makes
yeah.
any sense for
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So next one is a manifester. They make up 9% of the world. 9%. Wow. 9%. Whereas projectors, I'm trying to remember, it's like 19 or 20%. It's a low percentage. It's a very low percentage. So it goes, generators are the biggest percentage. I'm going to get you these percentages. And I'm like, why did I not write this down? Because I was like, I don't want to give the wrong percentages. I probably have it right here, but.
Don't quote Elizabeth, guys.
Quote Elizabeth. So manifestors, like I said, I do know this 9% of the universe is made up of projectors, and they are natural disruptors. They are here to ignite fires in us. They're here to bring new ideas.
Who is this again?
Manifestors.
Oh, manifestors. Okay.
Yeah. So they work in like bursts of energy. A manifestor works in bursts of energy. They do not have sacral energy either. And so they just like, if they get a feeling and they're like, I need to work right now, they have to get up and do it. Like that is how they work. They're trailblazers. They are some of the coolest, but most like projectors, most misunderstood people. I have one of my best friends, a manifestor. And actually at this retreat, this is crazy. We have 14 people. 3 of them are manifestors.
Wow.
Think about that. 9% of the population.
I know. What are the odds? Right? Like that's insane. That's insane. Like, yeah.
They're gifted at starting things, but they shouldn't be completing. Like they're not people who are going to go out and be the doers. They start them. They have the people that are there for them to support them. They have to find people to support them. They don't have to be doing it to keep it alive. They don't have to be doing it to do all these things, right? They're not the doers.
Okay.
But society says, hey, you should be doing
all the time. Yeah,
you right? should be doing all these things.
You're doing all the time.
It's interesting. The friends that I have. So when it comes to manifestors, projectors are like this too. Like they see so far into the future that they're just like, what do people not see? And that's where manifestors get even, you know, like a little like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with people? Like, what is wrong with people? What don't they see? Because they can see so far into the future. Isn't that so crazy? Like, and that's the thing. Manifestors, projectors, and reflectors do not have sacral energy. So like they get their sacral energy from us. Like, it's so crazy. It's just crazy. And then the last one, I'm like, there's so much I want to say.
I know. Come on and talk more.
I know, right? Is our reflectors. Reflectors are interesting. And I actually know of a reflector, but I don't know a reflector. And I know in Ash's group, Leisha, you work with her, right?
Yes.
She is the reflector.
Okay.
So is Sandra Bullock.
Oh, really?
Peter Bullock is a reflector.
Oh, I know.
So the thing about reflectors, and they're so rare, so I won't really go into them. And if somebody's listening to this in a reflector, please DM me. So their capacity to do stuff and is really like not in communities and teams and people is to like really figure out what's not working. So that's what they're like, they're into it and like, and what's not working in their families and their homes and their careers and like all this, like, it's so crazy. Like their capacity is how things can be improved. It's just like reflectors to me. I'm like, this is insane. Like if you think of Leisha, she's hormonal. Like how can we improve? Like if you look at a reflector, they're gifted facilitators. They are just like, and it takes them. So this is one of the biggest things I want to say is it takes them 30 days to like make a decision on something. They're like a lunar cycle.
Wow.
And the thing that's so cool is not cool because they don't think it's cool. Most reflectors are like, that's not me. And it's so interesting because even like when I took this course, they talked about how reflectors can see what's happening in spaces when nobody else can. That's like, I know, isn't that crazy? There's so much I could say about reflectors, but their energy ebbs and flows. It's not consistent, but they don't have sacral energy. So that's kind of the thing. There's like so all of these things. That's like a brief overview.
Yeah, I love it. There's so much goodness here. And I'm like, okay, we're going to have you come on so we can like, we'll get right into it at some point and just like, just start talking about all the things. So we'll have to talk more about it at some point. But I love this because I know that everyone's probably like, oh my God, I need to know what my human design is. So we will make sure that we put a link in the show notes for how they can find out what their human design is, and then tell us how they can find you.
You can find me over at my personal page, which is I am Elizabeth Lewis that's on Instagram. I'm also on Retreat Reclaim, Detroit Mom, but like my personal one is my one where you DM me, all of that stuff. And that is, again, it's I am Elizabeth Lewis. And I would love to chat with you guys. Yeah. Human design is, I literally, you know, it's so interesting as I'm sitting back and reflecting on some of the questions you asked me, like, oh my gosh, I wanted to tell them this and I wanted to tell them this. And I have like notes.
You need like 5 hours.
I know. I'm like, there's so much I have to tell you because it, you know, some of the most important things and the best way to implement and really kind of dig into your human design is not just your type, but your authority and your strategy and really how to utilize those and how to use them. And
yeah,
I'm like, oh my gosh.
We'll link the app in the show notes as well. Like, so they can download the My Human Design, right? Cause that's what you recommend, right? The My Human Design app.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great too. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you for being my first guest
ever. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, this was so much fun. And I love that we could just have a back and forth, just casual conversation. And I appreciate all of your shares today and all of your vulnerability and just like all the good stuff. And I'm going to see you in a month.
I know. I need to get my ticket. That's what I'm like, ooh, I need to get my ticket.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today. And thank you all for listening today. I hope this episode inspired you and that you just loved it. And I hope you're all excited to go out and find out what your human design is. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Thank you all so, so much for joining me today. Remember, your time is now. You always have the power to shift your mindset and create more ease and joy in your life. Don't ever stop growing. Don't ever stop evolving. Don't ever stop learning. If you love this podcast, I would be so beyond grateful if you left a review, shared with your friends, and tagged me on your Instagram stories. I love you all so, so much. Now go and create an amazing day.